Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 18th. In the year of our Lord, 2023, this is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution for the United States of America. The checks and balances are brilliant, and that is our guide, our blueprint for liberty. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Today, we've got a bunch of great guests, as did we yesterday. Today, Eldon Stahl, regional coordinator for the John Birch Society. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's great to be here.
We've got so much to discuss. Yesterday, I had on Larry Pratt, our dear friend, Gun Owners of America. Actually, he's retired, so we discussed all things liberty. And we talked about the power of zero. This is a fantastic concept, in my opinion, Larry brought up. What he says is, you know what? Congress, the House, the Senate, the President, the courts, the whatever, all three branches of government, they can all debate anything they want to. But at the end of the day, all the House needs to do, since they control the purse strings, is just fund zero. Zero to the FBI for their criminal activity. Zero to the Justice Department for their criminal activity. Zero to any unconstitutional agencies. And you know what? The debate's over. We'll fund only constitutional bills from here on out. We'll only fund the constitutional proper role of limited government. Now, we may politely fund a little bit more so that we can not crash the plane. We can bring it down safely. I get that. But he's talking about the power of zero. I think that's really important to understand, and I think a really important principle. Eldon, your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. You know, often people in Congress, like, for example, Ron Paul, are ridiculed for saying no. But actually, with what Congress has been doing for the last not quite number of decades, we need definitely more and more people in Congress that simply vote no.
There you have it. I couldn't agree more. We've got to do something. Believe it or not, billionaire and CEO of Tesla and Twitter, Elon Musk, he told the folks on CNN, or I guess CNBC in this case, David Faber, he said, you know what? I believe the 2000 election was not stolen. But there was a small amount of fraud, he says. And I guess my response is that's an interesting statement. He's trying to walk the middle line. He's trying to say it wouldn't have made a difference. It wasn't really stolen, but there was fraud. How do you have that both ways like Elon Musk pretends you can? I think he gets credited for being the smartest man in the world, but I think he's kind of ignorant. We had fraud, but we don't think it made a difference to change the election. Now, you can have that view, but let's ground our discussion in facts, not just your kind of first glance opinion. What the heck's going on with a statement like that? It sounds like to me he knows there's fraud, but he's hoping that we'll trust the smartest man in the world and dismiss it and not double down on that reality check. Eldon?
Yeah, we get that line often. Part of it, though, is that there are not sufficient, mechanisms in place often to even gather enough evidence to establish that there was fraud. The stuff that does get picked up, it's things that somebody was just absolutely stupid, like they mailed in their mail-in ballot and then they showed up on election day. And, you know, obviously that was something that can't be ignored. They were just stupid and then they get charged with a felony or something like that. But beyond that, there's so much, I guess, inability in so many places to even gather evidence. There's no way to present that in court or anything.
I agree with you that there's a lot of situations where there's not enough evidence. But there's a lot of situations where we do have enough evidence. And I'll give you an example, and we'll get into this later in the broadcast, but the Durham bombshell reveals that, you know what? There was a literal police coup against the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Phillips of Crossroads talks about this. But look, the report from Special Counsel John Durham basically said, look, they didn't have any evidence. They went ahead anyway. The American people are now learning the truth that Operation Crossfire Hurricane, it was bogus. The Russia claims were false.
Yep.
Hillary Clinton funded it, and it was not only when he was a candidate, but when he was president, it continued. All right? It's so bad, Marjorie Taylor Greene now has filed articles of impeachment against FBI Director Christopher Wray. We've got evidence. And I, you know, at first you say, well, Sam, you just dovetailed from election fraud to the FBI. No, I didn't. I'm convinced when the FBI literally got in bed with a candidate, Hillary Clinton, and literally promoted this lie, knowingly promoted this lie, to make President Trump look bad, and then they buried stories about Hunter Biden. Whistleblower now says, hey, IRS removed entire investigative team from Hunter Biden probe per the DOJ request. So now you've got literally spiking stories about Joe and Hunter, and you've got promoting false narrative about Donald Trump. How do we say that's not election tampering? How do we say that's not enough evidence? You have Hillary Clinton and crew weaponizing rogue government, and the Trump administration and Russia were literally set up by U.S. intelligence. This is, in my opinion, where we don't need all the other evidence. This is criminal to where we need to end the FBI. We need to shut down the Justice Department. They're flat out criminal and rogue, and everything they've done in the last who knows how long cannot be trusted anymore.
Yeah, that would probably be the best outcome out of this. So far as criminal proceedings and things, the difficulty is if it's not lifted outside of Washington, D.C. for a trial or, court dates and all that, these people are probably going to go scot-free because the Washington, D.C. votes 90% Democrat, so it's a real difficult situation there. But you've got Congress, and if they had enough pressure, they certainly could get rid of the FBI or the CIA. Difficult to get, I think, impeachments and removal from office because you would need 2/3 of the Senate to vote guilty, which is 67. And I don't know, you'd almost have to shame or drive out some of the Democrats, I would think, to get them to vote guilty. So that's a difficult situation there. But the House might vote to impeach.
Well, the House could vote to impeach, number one, but they could also vote to defund, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that we really need to focus on and understand. And that's why I highlighted that zero plan by Republican. You know, look, you can talk all day, Justice Department, but you don't have any money anymore. We're absolutely going to defund you. This isn't something we're dreaming about or we're thinking about. We're going to do it. We're going to defund National Public Radio. It's gone. Okay, Vice Media has to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy already, faces sale to creditors. Hey, couldn't have happened to a nicer group. Gone. Let's have people start to stand up. And look, we don't need the Senate. We don't need the president. We don't need the courts. We can just do it. We don't need anything else for that, Eldon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think, one of the most viable routes at this point for dealing with the situation is the funding side of it. And, that's a power of the people through their representatives, and the U.S. House of Representatives is intended to represent the people. It's apportioned by population, and it was intended to be that way, where the people would be able to have ultimate control on what goes on in the federal level through the power of the purse, the ability to control. It's kind of like the people have their hands on the checkbook. And if the check doesn't get signed, it doesn't get done.
That's the bottom line. I was talking to Lowell Nelson the other day, and we were talking about a bunch of incredible columns, Jacob G. Hornberger for one of them. Involuntary servitude in Russia and in Ukraine and in the U.S. You know, they say, hey, we got a new idea. Let's start a war with China. That's NATO's idea. Ron Paul wrote that article. Please call all members of Congress and politely demand an end to the U.S. support of NATO. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene on Tom Wood's podcast talks about the continued rise of the anti-war right. You know, are we helping by throwing money and munitions at the problem? The states never gave the general government authority to go after monsters to destroy. Okay, now you say, Sam, what about your clarion call for civility? You sound pretty bold. You sound pretty intense. No, my clarion call for civility still stands. Callforcivility.com to learn about it. But if we're not very careful, we're going to bring America into bankruptcy. You know what? When that house of cards fall, it isn't going to be fun. If we have a coup d'etat via the FBI or the Justice Department or the communist extremes in America, it isn't going to be pleasant. So my plans, even though they sound pretty intense, they're actually the peaceful road. We'll talk about that with Eldon Stahl. And we're going to have Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan join us for the Honest Money Report. We're going to do it all in seconds on your radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl on your radio. We're talking about, look, they need to just start defunding. They need to just simply say, no, we're not going to go along with this. We're not going to just do whatever they want to do. We're not just going to, you know, play games between the House and the Senate, the Congress and the President, the Congress and the courts or whatever. When are they going to do this? Kevin McCarthy sounds like he's trying to be bold, but in my opinion, he's completely clueless. Eldon, what do you say to that?
Well, yeah, if you look at McCarthy's voting record in the past, it hasn't exactly been stellar when you compare it to the U.S. Constitution. So is probably not going to be the most dependable type of person in enforcing the Constitution as Speaker. It's just, you know, the best, I guess, predictor of future behavior is often past behavior. And I don't expect any big epiphany by Speaker McCarthy at this point, but who knows? He could have his road to Damascus moment, I suppose, and decide to enforce the Constitution more faithfully. But yeah, it's that's the type of speaker we have. But it's of course different than if we had, say, a Democratic speaker.
Well, Kevin McCarthy literally forced his way to be speaker. You know, there was 20 plus people that did not want him to be speaker at all. And what's interesting to me, he basically said, yeah, I'll even bring the threshold down to one to remove me, to start the removal process if you don't like what I do. And so the 20 got their arms twisted and they went along. I don't see really what Kevin McCarthy's really done since that's been super valuable. I mean, there's been a few things. Yeah, they're trying to pass a couple of bills. They're trying to, you know, focus on different things. I see a little progress, but I don't really see anything of super substance that they've done. Do you, Eldon?
Yeah, I don't know what he's done that he can really hang his hat on and say, oh, well, look what I did. He made a lot of compromises, you might say, deals, so that he could become speaker. And some of those things probably benefited us. But I don't know about his speakership so far necessarily.
You know, it's an interesting kind of an idea. Kelly Finnegan with us, RussQuinnegip.com. Welcome back, sir.
Good to be here, Sam.
What do you think about this? I'm basically saying, look, we need to have a zero. The power of zero is what Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America talked about with me yesterday. And the idea is, look, the House doesn't have to fund anything they don't want to. They control the purse strings. So you know what? The Senate can take a hike. The President can take a hike. All they got to do is fund that which is constitutional or fund that which is appropriate. The rest they can simply say no to. And we've got to start defunding things. We've got to start taking money away from the federal government. But I look at Kevin McCarthy. He's about to sit down with Joe Biden's guys. They're all smiling and, you know, saying, oh, my gosh, I think we've got a solution here. They're going to sell us down the river. And I just feel like, what has McCarthy really done significantly that matters since he took office or since he took the helm of the Speaker of the House? I don't see much. Now, maybe I'm missing something. Kelly, what do you say?
Well, I had a friend several years ago ask me how they could keep the government, the federal government, from doing that. And I said, you know, they get their money from the state. Imagine if half the state said, you know what, we're not going to send in our allotment to the federal government. What would they do if they didn't have half that money? And that's easy to do. And a lot of states that receive money wouldn't be getting it. And they only have money because the states are willing to give it to them. You take that money away, and then the Congress can pass all the bills they want. But if they don't have anything there, then they'll have to print it all.
What do you say, Eldon? I think that's right, but I also think the states pretty much are on the dole. They give in some money, but they get a lot back, and it's all this fake money printing that causes the moral hazard.
Yeah, there's been some proposals to have the states basically have an escrow account where they decide if they're going to send in certain monies to the federal government. And you know, there's, of course, certainly heated debate as to whether that would actually be feasible, but yeah, you raise a good point that, you know, states like, well, Wyoming even, or Utah, very significant portion of their budgets are from federal dollars, and so there's a lot of leverage that the federal government has over the state governments. Until the states wean themselves off of that, they're constantly going to be lobbying for more money. And of course, there's always strings attached to that. So there's two sides to that discussion.
Well, and I wanted to say, too, that the money that the state gives us or the federal government sends back to Utah as many as the state of Utah has already sent to the government. And then they say, well, you get this much back or whatever. And then they print whatever. But if each state just started saying, mm-hmm. you know what, we're going to take care of our own, that would really cause some problems. Yeah, we don't need your money. We'll take care of ourselves.
It would be the solution. The problem, too, is when they basically take our money and then they give it back to us. They give it back with strings attached, Kelly.
Right. But I'm saying just don't give it to them and say, you know what, we don't want your money. It's like colleges that don't want to play by the rules that they set up for getting funding. Fine. You don't have to take. And there's a few colleges that have the backbone to say, you know what, we're going to fund ourselves. Thank you very much, but we're going to be okay without it. We're not going to have any student loans or anything. We'll make sure that our students can get the money somehow. And if states would do that, the federal government would be standing there, you know, with egg on their face because these states turned their back on the federal government and said, no, we don't want your money.
That is the start to the solution, that's for sure. The other discussion is going to be about taxes and property tax. We'll talk about that in just a second. Where's gold looking right now, Kelly?
Well, gold, I was just reading the 7-week low versus the U.S. dollar. So the dollar's strong for some reason, and everybody buys that. So gold's down to 1960. Last week, and I remember it was over.
Sorry, say it again. You broke up 1960.
40.
And $1,960.40.
Right. And last Friday, Saturday, it was over like 2025. So it's come down quite a bit.
All right. 1960, 40. Silver?
Yeah. Silver, $23.58.
That's down to some, right?
Platinum. Yep. Platinum's the one that's shining. It's up to 1,072. So it's the one that's really been moving.
And the reason that is the plunge per team doesn't, the plunge per team doesn't seem to manipulate that one as much. They don't get involved and manipulate that because they believe that most people don't pay attention to that, number one. And number two, let that kind of be hold out as the standard. But they have less paper play if they have less variables to move, right?
Right, and it's such a small market. I mean, it's a, you know, not even 10% of gold, and gold's even smaller than silver. Really, well, I guess it's bigger, but it's smaller than silver. So
it's more in terms of dollars because silver or gold's worth so much more, but it's smaller in terms of actual pure metal used in places. Right.
Right, but that's actually more useful. It's probably the most useful of all the metals that we have is platinum. So, and then rhodium is got a $2,000 spread between bid and ask, and the ask is $7,900. So it's really come down.
That number is huge, Eldon.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how all this is, you know, changing and things and how that's going to affect things. Is it platinum or palladium? I should know. That's in the catalytic converters that all these, you know, people are trying to get and sell.
Out platinum. Yeah. And then went to palladium. And so you have to have platinum for diesels. But the only reason that platinum's down is because they went to palladium, and the only reason palladium's up is because they went to that instead of platinum. So I remember when it was $2.50 an ounce for palladium. So yeah, it's playing around.
Quick pause, Liberty Roundtable live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Prime. A hearing is taking place on the Hill today involving multiple whistleblowers from the FBI, alleging illegal activities at the highest levels of America's top law enforcement agency. Wyoming Representative Republican Harriet Hageman on the need for whistleblowers.
Whistleblowers are protected by law, and the reason is simple and understandable. We must be able to count on disclosures from rank-and-file employees in order to conduct our oversight and hold people accountable for wrongdoing.
Hageman on what's been discovered by the whistleblowers.
Misallocation of law enforcement resources and misconduct within the leadership ranks of the FBI. In short, the leadership in the FBI is politically corrupt.
President Biden is in Hiroshima, Japan today. He's meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. Tomorrow is the start of the G7 summit as the USA continues to teeter on default with the national debt. Illegal immigrants in cities throughout America are creating a burden the Biden administration has forced on municipalities because of their border policies. Joe Borelli on Fox News is a New York City councilman.
Well, it's a sign our priorities are completely out of whack. I mean, this is a problem that's now costing $8 million a day. That money could be going for homeless veterans. It could be going for school lunches. It could be going for health care for the sick. It could be going for a whole bunch of services that the city provides. But because we've decided to have this woke experiment of being a sanctuary city, we are now essentially boxed in by our own progressiveness.
North Carolina lawmakers overrode a veto by Democrat Governor Roy Cooper last night, enacting a ban on most abortions after 12 weeks of gestation. There are some exceptions to the law. The ban will take effect in July. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated as we get this Thursday underway. USA News.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kelly Finnegan, RustCoinAndGift.com, and Eldon Stahl with us, ladies and gentlemen, John Birch Society. There's so much to cover, so little time. Interesting, the dollar's holding very strong right now. Why? It's anybody's guess, but it all comes down to manipulation. They're able to really make a paper play and temporarily control things. But, you know, there's an article written in the New American that I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit that I think is incredible. It's written by Louis Miguel. And the article says it's time to abolish the property tax. And he goes on and talks about how the Republicans, when they got elected in 2022, they lost their heads. They were concerned about how to win over suburban voters. Some voters within the GOP say they ought to move way left. But such arguments miss the mark, he says. First of all, it's simply immoral and disingenuous to jettison your political convictions for expediency. You know what? We don't want to sell out the good. Secondly, that line of talking is overly simplistic, he goes on. Anyway, he basically talks about property taxes, virtually a communist tax. All right? They need to double down and stand up for liberty and take the abuse off the people. This is one of the ways when we talk about zero funding. This is one of the ways we can starve the federal government and the states for money and just say, look, you know what? You're going to live off very limited amounts of money. Okay. And we need to simply say, look, we need to abolish property tax. There's a couple of states that don't have property taxes, but they have ever increasing other abusive taxes to make up for it. I'm looking for the first state that has no property or income tax. Nevertheless, this article is spot on in terms of what Republicans need to do. They need to deliver true constitutionalism and freedom for the people. Don't just settle for feckless half measures. Double down and deliver something the people could trust and respect. What better way to show our spine and deliver much needed relief for all families by jettisoning the property tax? Kelly, you first.
Well, you're assuming, Sam, that people want freedom, and that's the problem. People would be rather have that free lunch than actually say no and I'll get it some other way. So they want the bennies that come from that. So, you know, any politician that gets in and then does that won't get reelected. And that's the business of politicians, is get reelected. That sounds great. I agree with it, but it won't happen.
Eldon?
Yeah, well, it's something that the people certainly need to demand. One big, of course, push for property tax has generally been the public schools, the universities, but also K-12. And so part of that formula needs to be people need to, and what better time to take your child and walk out of the schools and never look back, because they're doing stuff that most people would be ashamed of. There have been some initiatives in states like North Dakota to push and end property tax, and that's definitely a good thing. One thing that's so oppressive about property tax, I know, is, you know, it's not a function, the level of property tax is not a function of any actual need or a budget or anything from, say, the police or fire or school or anything like that. It's dependent upon what is supposedly the market value or the assessed value of your home. And, of course, the market, a lot of places it's going up and up and up so far as prices. That works great for the tax collectors, but for the homeowners, not so great. So at the very least, if you would think if there's going to be property tax, a sensible thing would be to tie the level of taxation to the actual need for spending. So that would encourage people to show up at the city council meetings and the county council meetings and school board meetings and say, no, wait a second, if you do this policy, our property taxes are going to go up. The market that people can't really control.
Well, and the issue here really is philosophically the property tax is totally un-American, violates the property rights that are central to our nation's founding. If you don't, for example, own your property outright, in other words, if nobody else has any claim to it, you don't own your home. I mean, if people have claim to your home, you don't own your home. Okay, in the same way, so long as Americans are forced to pay property tax under the threat of having their home or land confiscated, then they're really serfs on their own property. And the problem with this discussion in my mind is this. The government has every reason and desire for home prices to increase. If my home's worth $100,000,
exactly. Yeah.
There's not a lot of taxes. If they can make my home worth $400,000, well, there's a lot of tax revenue they can derive from this. So look, getting rid of the property tax would be one of the most popular proposals that Republicans or even Democrats could put forward, folks. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to pay less to the government? I agree with Kelly, though. Sadly, it's not going to happen. It's a great proposal in the New American. It's something that Liberty Roundtable will talk about. But as Kelly wisely points out, it's not even really on the table for real discussion, is the sad part, Kelly.
Well, it is. And most people don't own, they call themselves homeowners. They don't. The bank does. But they're still paying property taxes on a home that they don't own. And then once you finally make the last payment on the mortgage, you still have to pay taxes, so you don't own your home. Because if you miss that tax payment, you will be out on the street. So you never own a home now in the United States.
Eldon, I say this is something again, where's Kevin McCarthy and where's the real discussion? I believe the New American is one of the greatest think tank magazines you can find for proposals for solutions. And Liberty Roundtable Live is as well. And how do we get these Republicans to take this discussion seriously? Right now, the government's trying to create more national monuments, more whatever you want to call it, where it's massive land grabs. The less land the people have to live on, the more property tax will increase as well, because there's not enough to go around. Property's at the center of liberty, Eldon.
Yeah, and if the Republican Party is indeed wanting to push back against socialism, Marxism, communism, that the center of that philosophy is the abolition of private property. The property tax is, you know, fundamentally, when you break it down, it's an attack on private property. You've got to eliminate that. The way it is now, it's a transition from, you know, recognizing private property to abolishing private property. And we've got to decide which way we're going to go. There's a great opportunity for the Republican Party to show leadership on that. But also, yes, the people have to demand it. They have to say, enough is enough. This is an oppressive tax, and we're willing to give up certain things in order to get rid of it.
And the more we move away from honest currency, the more these problems are going to rear their ugly head. And when you have money problems or financial core problems, it destroys every element of our society. Colorado Rep. Lauren Boebert getting a divorce from her husband after 22 years. The Target CEO now saying, hey, we're seeing violent incidents in our stores and it's costing us millions of dollars. But they're moving more and more towards fake money. I mean, you think the fake dollar's bad. Now they're going to work on digital currency. And the digital currency, as far as I can tell, is going to be even more manipulatable than the current dollar. Kelly?
Well, it is. And the it's not a secret agenda. The WEF's come out and said, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And, you know, if you don't own anything, you don't need money. You don't need to have anything there. We'll just give you some little tokens that you trade. When you go to the casino, you're not playing with money. You're playing with tokens. They give you chips. So that you don't realize how much money you really are playing with. They give you this, they don't call it gambling, they call it gaming now. So you change the names and then it doesn't seem so bad or you know, repressive. And that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to change the name of the dollar and get away from you owning anything, and you're just in this big game. And the kids love it because they're used to buying extra lives on a game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. The end of the dollar has begun. The Fed's to launch digital currency by July. Yes, this year, 2023, according to The Blaze. This is disaster, folks. We'll talk about it more in seconds on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
My name is Christian Knuckles. Donald Trump is God's man. Evidence. He is being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Matthew 5:10. DeSantis is God's man fighting the beast at Disney. Walt Disney was God's man. Look how the beast swarmed to buy Disney upon Walt's death. They turned Walt Disney Incorporated into the whore of Babylon. They turned the New Jerusalem, America, into Mystery Babylon. Yeah, Revelations 12, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries, brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com. That's what we're seeing here, and they're using dishonest money as the medium of exchange, or the core, in my opinion, of this transition, changing the affairs of the nation from good to evil. We talked about that a lot on the radio because it's important to understand. Kelly, what do you say to all that?
Yeah, it's you change the definition and the meaning of words, and then you can change what that is, you know. And we're seeing that little by little happening, and that's exactly right. I mean, Walt Disney would be appalled to see what's going on, let alone the founding fathers. They just couldn't believe what happened to what they've done, their life's work.
The media is taking a beating over it, too, by the way. CNN's primetime average is plummeting. Newsmax has more viewers now than CNN did. They only have like 300-something thousand viewers. You put them both together, that's only like 500,000 viewers. Fox News came in first place with 1.4 million viewers, about half of what it normally had under Tucker Carlson. But you put all of them together, and they don't even equal 2 million people. All right, Will Cain now, co-host of Fox and Friends, is supposed to take over Tucker's position. But they've been trying people over and over and over in that position, and nobody can get it done. It's disaster for the mainstream press. But the new media is taking center stage, Eldon. And this is more proof in the pudding. I mean, those kind of viewers we get. Those kind of listener counts we get across the country and across the world. They don't want to admit it, but it's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is a real, I think, truth in the term legacy media. A lot of these, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, all that, they're not picking up viewers or listeners. And there's so many alternatives nowadays that people can look to that are much more reliable. I mean, we started, I think we talked about, you know, the Durham report that just came out. And so many of these legacy media groups were just parroting the line that Trump was colluding with the Russians and that's how he got elected, blah, blah, blah. And of course, we know that that was total lie. You know, look at what organizations, media organizations pushed that lie. And maybe it's time to just unplug, turn them off, look for somebody else. Certainly would recommend the New American, Liberty Roundtable. There's lots of options there.
What do you say, Kelly?
Yeah, they don't like that people aren't listening to the narrative and that there's too many alternatives for you to choose from. And that scares them more than anything, knowing that people can get information in other places than where they think that they should get it. So, we have options now. And people now are starting to be their own broadcasters and share their ideas. And heaven forbid that someone can actually freely talk about what they believe or what they think and not have someone shut down.
It's hard to understand all the different things that are happening, but I submit to you that all these downstream things we're talking about relate to dishonest money. You have a dishonest transaction because of fake money at the core of all your transactions. Dishonesty tends to be the, I don't know what you want to call it, the fruits of that effort. But we have good news. The North Carolina Congress or in other words, the state of North Carolina, deal legislative body deals crushing blow to the abortion radicals. They put forth a protect children from abortion bill. The whacked out glue, the blue governor vetoed it, but they had enough to override him now. That's a piece of good news, Kelly.
It is, and hopefully when they have to stand up and back what they did, they have the backbone to do that, because, you know, the whirlwind will be coming, as has been said, but they need to be ready for it and say, no, this is what we believe, this is what we think, and if you don't like it, then get somebody else in here, but that's the way it is, and I think most of the people who elected those people feel the same way and are happy. So we just need the vocal minority needs to become the minority again, and the invocal majority need to stand up and say something.
I would just simply say this. It's good news. We've got to take the good news that we get. Now there's a little bit of bad news. James Comer, he's House Oversight Committee Chairman or whatever else. He's been really doubling down and saying, we're going to get Joe, we're going to get Hunter, we're going to get these people. Now he starts to whine and say he lost his informant. So now he doesn't know, you know, if he can get all the information or whatever else about that. But I kind of look at that and go, you know what, that's a crybaby's attitude. We have plenty of evidence about the criminal activity going on. Do you think they've gotten to James, Eldon?
You would think that we'd be able to have plenty of evidence to get these people on. The difficulty is, you know, get it out of the D.C. area if you're going to try somebody, because it's very difficult to get a conviction, because so many of those folks just absolutely, you know, they hate Trump. They hate everything that he has to do with. They support the deep state, as we call it.
We're getting more and more and more evidence about the criminal activity of the government. For example, Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne, believe it or not, testified to the January 6th committee for nearly 8 hours, reports CNN. But we got no details about what he testified on. I'm going to have to call my buddy Patrick and get him on the radio and cover that. But look, we have evidence on so many factors and no one's getting arrested. Not only do we need to make the money spend zero, so the power of zero, to rein this in by restricting their amount of money they can spend or use, but we also need to start arresting these criminals, though. If we want accountability and transparency in America, it's going to start by arresting these people. They cannot be allowed to live above the law. And that's kind of what we're seeing, too, is the lack of willingness to arrest these people. Look, Hunter and Joe have enough criminal activity. We don't need to debate it anymore. It's time for arrests and prosecution. Okay, there's criminal activity in the FBI and the Justice Department. I appreciate that this, you know, report came out. But where's the accountability? Where's the criminal arrest and prosecution to take action on this? Kelly, isn't that what we need next?
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. I mean, it's just, you know, the good old boys club they have there, and you take care of me and I'll take care of you. And like I said, I think the thing that's going to happen with this is Joe's not going to get the nomination for the Democratic side. That's happening. And the guy they really need is Robert Kennedy Jr., but they don't like him because he actually has some common sense. So they're really not knowing what to do. And they don't know.
Yeah, and he's somewhat of a truth teller as well.
Yeah, that's the problem when you have that, you know. He's very similar to his dad and his uncle in that way, you know. And there's always a game in politics. Politics is, you'll say what you got to do to get reelected or elected. And so you got to have that, you know, a little grain of salt with that. But he's one there that's willing to say, no, this is the deal. And now they're finding with the vaccines, yeah, what he was saying was right. And it's going to be very interesting. And when he's on talking to people like Tucker Carlson, well, that's bad. And then when Elon Musk starts saying that, yeah, everybody knows that Hunter's laptop was real. And that was, you know, wow. Now all of a sudden you got the guys that are supposed to be on your side saying what the other side wants you to hear. So it's,
well, and Donald Trump now, speaking of JFK, Donald Trump says he's going to release the JFK files if we elect him again. My response is, why didn't you do it when you had the chance the first time, Donald? But nevertheless, what do you think Donald Trump's chances are, number one? And number two, who do you think will be his running mate?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, honestly, if you took if he took someone like a Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, what would they do? Wow, you know, here's a guy who's taking a Democrat, but he's taking somebody that speaks, you know, what he perceives as being the truth. That would be tough. I don't know that Trump will not back out, even if he doesn't get the nomination. And like I said, I think whoever is the Democrat's going to be the one that wins. So who knows? And Robert Kennedy, they're talking he might run as an independent or as a libertarian, and then that could split all kinds of things. I mean, you're going to have somebody with under 50% of the vote winning to be president, just like when Clinton ran.
Well, and they might trot out Michelle Obama if they get desperate enough, right?
Oh, I could see that in a heartbeat. And I think they're desperate enough.
All right, what do you say, Eldon? Do you think Donald's gonna be the nominee, and who's his running mate gonna be? And do you think they'll trot out Michelle if they get desperate enough? What do you think they're gonna do?
Well, I think there's a good chance that Trump would be the nominee at this point. There's all kinds of efforts to prevent him from being the nominee within the party. But it's early in the game, and so there could be some other things that go on that are kind of wild cards. Who his nominee would be, well, at this point, all I could probably say is not Pence. I don't think he's going to pick him again. But who knows? Who knows? He's going to have to be very careful in looking who the running mate would be. So we'll see. That's, ultimately depends on the people, what they want, especially in certain states. But, we'll see what happens with that. A lot of things will start happening pretty quickly now.
Eldon, I don't know what's going to happen. On one hand, you feel like they'll never let the Donald win. On the other hand, he's got so much, I don't know what you want to say, control of the Republican Party, really control the whole narrative right now. It's hard to see that he won't win. At the same time, they stole it from him last time.
Well, he became the nominee, but in the general, I believe it was stolen. Probably appropriate term for it. There was focus on the key swing states to try to engage in some hanky-panky, as they say. And so that's what changed things. But it's hard to know. So far as the general, if he gets the nomination, probably he's going to have to campaign differently, because I don't know that enough states have been able to change their laws to ensure integrity of the vote. So
I certainly don't think we have integrity for elections together yet. That's for sure. We haven't used our time wisely, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Have it. All right, Kelly Finnegan, RussQuinnGift.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for letting me be here again, Sam.
He does a phenomenal job as always. Brian's out taking care of business as always, but you have a friend in the honest money business, RussQuinnGift.com. All right, hour one of the can, two coming up. Eldon and Sam continue. Eldon Stahl, John Birch Society, JBS.org, and TheNewAmerican.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States.